Good morning. It is Sunday, January 29th, 2017, and I'm Pastor Mark Dilley of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Sun City West, Arizona. I pray the message this morning will be used to strengthen you in your faith and encourage you in your walk with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles with me this morning to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. And we'll read down through verse 29. Beginning with verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. 2 weeks ago, now it's been, we spoke concerning the redemptive plan of God for the world, which is ordained to be implemented through the ministry of Israel and their Messiah King. And that's what this handout, this little handout, is all about, with the fold in it. And so all of this, all the scriptures, are related to the redemption of the world here on earth through the ministry of Israel. But what Paul's talking about and what he makes reference here again is it was given to him to bring to completion the Word of God in all its fullness. That word fullness means to bring to completion or bring to an end. Now, Paul wasn't the last person to write Scripture, but Paul was chosen to fulfill the revelation of Scripture because this portion, the portion that had to do with the redemption of the earth through Israel, had already been proclaimed, but it hadn't been fully written down yet. But Paul was given a proclamation for that middle part that we unfold now, which is called the mystery. And so last week we began to explain that God had another redemptive plan for the human race, which He'd kept hidden. And it's not related to the original plan if you don't fold it. It's a totally new revelation called the mystery, or the church, referring to the church, the body of Christ, and the gospel of the grace of God. The mystery, the word mystery is used in other places in the Bible, but no place outside of Paul's writings will you hear about the church, the body of Christ, or the gospel of the grace of God. You'll hear that God is gracious. You'll hear about the gospel and all of those terms, but never specifically the gospel of the grace of God. And this plan, as we discussed last week, was something that was hidden in God. It was not made known in other generations or in the past in any way. Now, it was not something that was, it was hidden, but it was not new to God, because He'd promised it before He created the world. And we had several references to that idea, that it was hidden, but it was not new to God. And so, let's just quickly touch those verses that we mentioned. And now, as we start to begin this, this redemptive plan identified as a mystery that had been kept secret and was made known to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected, ascended, glorified, and exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Paul refers to that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is saying here is the distinctive message of the gospel of the grace of God. No one taught him that. And he didn't learn it from anyone else in any way, not from man in any fashion. He received it directly by revelation from Jesus Christ. And then we went through the idea that some of the things that we have on this, when Peter preached at Pentecost, in the early part of the book of Acts, that was nothing new. It was things that the prophets had told. And so Peter says, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter says he promised long ago through his holy prophets, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold of these days. And so what Peter was preaching in the early part of the book of Acts was not the mystery. It was not about the church, the body of Christ. Now, I don't apologize for this, but just to I don't know how to word it even. But sometimes I think people think, well, we talked about this last week. But the truth of the matter is, we'll talk about this for weeks and weeks and weeks to come, because this is the truth. This is what you need to get in your head. And I'm going to make a reference here, and I want to be really careful about it. But in the portion of Scripture we read today, let's go back to verse 25 in Colossians. In verse 25, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says, I have become its servant, referring to the church, the body of Christ. Paul is the servant of the church. And what was his purpose? By the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And I think one translation adds the word even. Or I would in my own mind add, which is the mystery. That was what was going to bring the revelation of God to its completion. It was when the mystery was revealed. That has been kept hidden for ages and generations. And this is the phrase I want to focus on. But is now disclosed to the saints. In the King James Version, it says, now is manifest to the saints. And I'm sure I didn't do my homework on this, and I didn't think I was going to talk about this exactly. But that word manifest, I'm sure, it comes from a Greek word that means photo something, to shine light on it, to make it clear to the saints. And the reason I talk about this so regularly is because it isn't manifest to most of the saints today. It's in the Scriptures. It's clearly in the Scriptures. And yet, that t-shirt I wear, when it talks about Paul's desire that all men might see the fellowship of the mystery, I have found no one ever that responded to that t-shirt and said, oh, I love the mystery. They don't know what it is. So I had a terrible thought. I thought, maybe only those that see the mystery are the saints. Because it says it's manifest to the saints. But I would hate to go that far. Because I really believe I have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ today that are just ignorant or blind to the mystery. And they when Paul says, all men might see the fellowship of the mystery. And most people are look at that when you try to share with them, oh, you're one of those people. Or you're an ultra-dispensationalist or a hyper-dispensationalist. I'm just reading what the Scripture says and trying to explain to people that's what it says. And what are they doing? Most of them, sad to say, are brothers and sisters in Christ that we will be with them for eternity, are living under the program for Israel and the earth. And that's not where we're going to be. I just heard somebody the other day talk about, oh, I know who it was today. Charles Stanley preached a wonderful message on inadequacy is a blessing. Something about that. It's a blessing, and he gave a wonderful message on how to live with the power of Christ in your life. But he then went to the Lord's Prayer and started talking about the Lord's Prayer. And that's totally a prayer for this kingdom message. It's not for the church, the body of Christ. And so many people preach the mystery and don't even understand what it is. They preach Paul's gospel and they really don't identify it as their gospel. And so that's why I continually preach this, because it's the word that's written to us for today. And so and let's look at some of the quick verses about how it was hidden. And I'm just going to hit the highlights that you have on your handout. For example, in Titus 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. But most of this here is never referenced. I don't know of any reference in the Bible that talks about Israel being God's chosen, even though they were, it just doesn't say it. They were God's chosen before creation or before the beginning of time. It always talks about from creation or from the beginning and that type of thing. God promised this mystery truth before the beginning of time. And it, Paul says also in Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, the verse 5, which was not made known to men in other generations. So it was hidden. And in Ephesians 3, 9 through 11, the highlight of that is the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was hidden in God. But it was in verse 11, according to his eternal purpose. Again, I don't see in Israel's scriptures anything about their eternal purpose. Now, they have an eternal future, but not an eternal purpose as God had. They have an everlasting future. But there's not references to God's dealing with eternity in Israel. Eternity past. Colossians 1, 26 and 27, which we've read. I'll read it again. The mystery that had been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And look at what the next line says. In verse 27. To them, the saints, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, again, I'm of the opinion that God is making this known according to his will and purpose to all the saints. But not all the saints at this point embrace it. The sad truth is, a large percentage of the saints reject it, or a large percentage of the saints deny it, and they ridicule people that believe it. I just don't understand that, but that's because I see it, and that's by the grace of God. If you see it today, God's illumined your heart. He's made it manifest to you and how thankful you should be. Now you should fill yourself. And that's what Charles Stanley's message today was. It was a wonderful message. If you can Google it, go to intouch.org and Google today's message. And I encourage you to listen to him. He preached probably a better message than I ever had on that topic. It was wonderful. And I'm going to go back and review it again, because Charles Stanley, I don't think, embraces the distinctive message of Paul. Anyway, Romans 16:25, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's how we are established today, by Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. I can guarantee you again, you go to even pastors and say, do you preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? And they will look at you like a deer in the headlights. Well, we preach all about Christ. Christ is the center of our teaching. It's all about Christ. But they're not preaching it according to the revelation of the mystery. And I don't say that as a criticism. I just state it as a fact. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory when? Before time began. Again, it takes us back into eternity past. And again, it goes on to say, none of the rulers of this age understood it, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him when? Before the creation of the world. Now people are telling, when you talk about the mystery to people, oh yeah, in fact, remember I mentioned a gentleman that called me last, was going to check out our church, and I checked, I told him what we preach, a message, and went through all that. And he says, oh, that's something new, isn't it? That's recent. Well, right here tells us that God ordained it before the world, which before the creation of the world, he chose us in Christ, so it's nothing new. It's just that the human race and the church, the body of Christ, it's new to them when they discover it. But it wasn't a new plan or anything. It's been around here before the Bible was ever written. 2 Timothy 1:9, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That doesn't sound new to me. And then Titus 1:1-2. Verse 2, the last part of it. God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And so I'm not a bit apologetic to anybody about what I preach or teach, but I want them to understand why I do it. Okay, now, the next point I want to point out is that this secret or this mystery that God ordained before the beginning of time and kept hidden was revealed to Paul. And we read that in Galatians, where he wasn't taught it. He wasn't taught it by man, neither did he learn it or anything, but by revelation of Christ. And so in Acts 9:15, Acts 9:15, this is shortly after the conversion of Paul. And again, I find this, I don't know why, maybe it's my warped humor or something, but I find this sort of funny the way it is. I can just see Ananias. He knew about Paul. He knew him as Saul. And he knew how Saul was going about persecuting these messianic believers. Here's where we need to, if we're going to teach these things, we need to try to be precise in our choice of words. Most people say Paul persecuted the Christians. Well, that is true, but we have to identify what type of Christians were they. They were followers of Christ, but they were messianic followers. They weren't followers of Christ as the head of the church, which is his body. They were following him according to prophecy and all that he'd accomplished. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Ananias and told him, go to a house on Straight Street, there's a man by the name of Saul there praying. I can just see Ananias' face. Are you kidding me? I've heard all about this guy and all the horrific things he's done to the saints in Jerusalem, and now he's come here. He's after me. And I can just imagine what he was thinking. And Christ said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Now, how much plainer can any scripture be as to Paul's calling to take this message to the Gentiles? And what message was it? We just talked about it over and over again, the mystery, this thing that had been hidden. And now Paul's going to take it to the Gentiles. Most of the Gentiles are totally ignorant of that message. Now, I shouldn't say totally ignorant, because they preach it, but they don't really know what they're preaching. Something's become very apparent to me. People can read the Scriptures, people can know the Scriptures, people can preach the Scriptures, and they might not believe what they're preaching. They just don't believe it. And I, like I've shared with you many times, I had a pastor tell me, I can't argue with me with you because you're showing me over and over in the Scriptures, but I just don't believe it. He was at least being honest. He didn't deny it. He just didn't believe it. And that's the normal case. Because they preach Paul, but they really don't know the distinctiveness of that message. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians. No, Galatians chapter 2. I'll get it straight here. Acts chapter 22. This is another reference to Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Then he said, and this is Ananias talking to Paul, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, so Paul's ministry was not just to the Gentiles. I quit in the previous verse. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. So Paul's message is for the whole world today. It's a different message than what Christ preached when he walked here on earth. Acts 26, again in reference to Paul's conversion. And Paul's speaking now. Acts 26 and verse 15. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. And so that was the primary audience of Paul's letters. Paul, when he was first converted, and for many years thereafter, had a heart's desire to tell Israel about what had happened to him. And so he would go to the synagogues first and tell them about his experience and his vision of with Christ, and then the message that he'd received. And they didn't really want anything to do with him most of the time. They ran him out of the synagogues and out of town. And before he got out of town, he'd have an opportunity to talk to the Gentiles. And that's how it played out. Israel is blinded to the Lord Jesus Christ in part. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, And now he tells what that administration of that grace was. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. And so he keeps identifying this revelation that he got as the mystery or the secret. And then jumping down to verses 7 and 9 of chapter 3. I became a servant of this gospel. There are other gospels in the Bible. A lot of times people say there's only one gospel in the Bible. And again, I don't think they really understand what they're saying. I think what they are saying is there is only one cross in the Bible. There's only one crucifixion in the Bible. There's only one shed blood of Christ in the Bible. The crucifixion was a once-for-all event, and that gospel is all tied up in that event. But there are different applications of that crucifixion. Peter never talks about the gospel, the grace of God, and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I don't know. Check that out and see if you can find any place outside of Paul's writings where it talks about Jesus Christ dying for your sins. He will provide the remission of sin, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, different statements like that. But the direct statement that Jesus Christ died for your sins, I don't think you'll find. And my memory could be failing me. But search it out and see. Anyway, now get up and stand on your feet. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. This administration of God's grace was given to me for you, the mystery. And now I have become a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable. And I've shared this many times, but when I first used to read that word unsearchable, I used to think it was just so vast and so amazing that you could never figure it all out. That's not what that word means at all. This word unsearchable means untrackable, or leaving no footprints. There was no place that you could go back in the Bible and track this out. That is what the unsearchable riches of Christ is about. That you can't find this gospel of grace anyplace else in the Scriptures. And then he goes on in verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this grace. That's what Paul's desire was. When you preach pure grace, the biggest response you'll get from people is, yeah, but. They don't want to embrace grace. It's amazing. And that's everybody's first response. When you start to preach pure grace, you will be criticized, you'll be attacked, you'll be ostracized, all kinds of things when you really preach the gospel of the grace of God. I can guarantee you, and it will even come from brothers and sisters, or at least professed brothers and sisters in Christ. And they'll be vehement, and they will be antagonistic, and they will be very angry and hostile about it. Not everyone, but many when you get into what you're really teaching. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1:10 and 11. And we're going to begin with 10b. And for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, Paul's telling the Timothy that stick with my gospel. And nothing else that's contrary to sound doctrine. People today really don't want to get into doctrine, because doctrine brings division. Doctrine doesn't bring division. People divide over doctrine. Doctrine is consistent. Just understanding which doctrines you should be learning. And Paul says, sound doctrine. And now he identifies what that sound doctrine is. That conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. So if you want to have sound doctrine, get the doctrine that the glorious God, or the glorious gospel of the blessed God that was entrusted to Paul. Well, aren't you going to preach and teach about Moses and crossing the Red Sea and all those marvelous Sunday school stories we learned all about? No, not very often at all. Because that's not how you're established today. Now, don't get me wrong. All God's Word is inspired. It's all profitable. It's good for instruction. But it's not how you're established. If you want to be established in grace, you have to be taught the grace truth. And the grace truth is found solely, the gospel of the grace of God is found solely in Paul's writings. Okay, let's go on. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. And that's what we're doing today. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so again, Paul said, I laid the foundation. How could he say that? All of this was already written. All of this, people will say the Old Testament is all about Christ. The New Testament is all about Christ. Well, how could Paul lay the foundation then? He was laying the foundation of the gospel of the grace of God. He was presenting Jesus Christ as the foundation for his gospel. Peter preached long before Paul did, and he preached Jesus Christ. Peter preached the foundation of the kingdom. Paul preaches the foundation of the church, the body of Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:16-17. And we're just going to jump down to the very end of 17. I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Paul had a distinctive message, a distinctive ministry that was given to him by God the Father, by the commandment of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, a lot of people say, well, they all preach the same message. They didn't preach the same message. Go read them and see what Peter preached. And if you want to get in trouble, take issue with what he preached at Pentecost. When he said, they said, what must we do? And Peter didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. That's not the gospel of salvation for today. And so you tell some of our really brothers and sisters in Christ or professed brothers and sisters in Christ that repent and be baptized isn't the gospel for today. And you'll get a lot of resistance. You'll get a lot of hostility. But it's not the gospel for today. It's just that simple. It's not Paul's gospel. He never says that. Repent and be baptized. And so anyway, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul had a vision or a revelation to go up to Jerusalem and explain to them the gospel he preaches among the Gentiles. They didn't understand what he was preaching. And so in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6, as he's up there in Jerusalem now, he says, As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearances. Those men added nothing to my message. They couldn't. They didn't even know his message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel or the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And now here's where we have to be students a little bit. His task of preaching the gospel was not to the Gentiles, but he had the task of preaching the gospel of the Gentiles. A lot of people, because of the translation that the NIV uses, and it's going to go on here, let's go on to the next verse. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. That reading makes it sound like he's just preaching the same gospel to the Gentiles as Peter was to the Jews. That's not what the way it's translated in the King James Version. It's the gospel he had been entrusted, Peter, with the gospel of the circumcision. The gospel of the circumcision, or the gospel to the circumcision. Well, of makes it a little more specific. It's a genitive case. And that means the gospel that belongs to the circumcision. And Paul was the task of preaching the gospel that belongs to the Gentiles. They're two different gospels. And so in verse 9, Galatians 2:9, James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the Spirit of God illumined their heart to the grace that was given to Paul. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Now something drastically has happened there, because so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ believe that in Matthew 28:28, I think it is, where Christ says, "Go ye where? Into all the world, preaching the gospel," or whatever, however that goes, or my mind doesn't recall it all now, "teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, making disciples of every nation." And now here, they are agreeing that Paul should go to the Gentiles, and they would remain with the Jews. So that's quite a drastic change from what's called the Great Commission. Well, is that God's purpose? Yes. Why is it? Because it's a different gospel Paul's preaching. They're going to stick with their kingdom gospel with the Jews that they've already converted. But Paul's gospel now is going to be the one that goes to the whole world. And then also in verse 9, who was given the keys to the kingdom? Peter. All of a sudden now James is listed first. How did he get ahead of Peter all of a sudden? James, in this Jerusalem council, James is the one that's going to make the final presentation that here's my decision. I think he says something to that effect. Well, how did James all of a sudden have all this authority? Because it's no longer about the gospel of the kingdom. And then one more. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Here is Peter's second acknowledgement of Paul's apostleship. He supported Paul at the Jerusalem council. And now here in this letter, in chapter 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 15. "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters." And then Peter says something that is so difficult for the Jews to embrace. "His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction." And so Peter recognized at the council after that time and in his writings that Paul had a distinct message for the Gentiles. And so that's my final point for today, is that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. I've heard of many, not many, but some prominent celebrities or something that are not Jewish, but they decide to become followers or join Israel. I don't know how they even say it. They're going to join Israel's religion. Well, what they're talking about, they're going to join this part of the Bible. They're going to join about the Messiah. There's a group of people called Jews for Jesus today. They focus on the blood of Christ, that He died on the cross for their sins, all of that. But they believe yet that Jesus Christ's ministry, even today, is still for Israel. And that the Gentiles are being added into this ministry, but Jesus Christ is still Messiah today in the ministry of the gospel. Well, He's still Messiah because of His office, but He's the head of the church today, the body of Christ. He's not exercising His place of authority as King of Israel or Messiah of Israel. He's exercising the office of the head of the church, which is His body. And so there are many different tangents, so much of doctrine difficulty, so much of doctrinal confusion, so much of doctrinal disagreement comes from denying or ignoring what Paul says. You know, people say, well, what does the Bible say? Well, that's really nice, but for today, it's what does Paul say? And until you know what Paul says in regards to certain things, you are not really stabilized in His gospel. And that's the gospel, again, of pure grace. And so let's just look at a few verses and then we'll close shortly. Romans 11, 13 and 14. Romans 13 and 14 says, I am talking to you Gentiles, this is Paul, I am talking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, I don't know if my logic stands up, but if he says that, and I'm a Gentile, who's my apostle? Paul. There's no other apostle that says that. The 12 apostles were the apostles to Israel. And he goes on to say, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. And then 1 Timothy 2:7, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. The true faith to the Gentiles. And then in 2 Timothy 1:11, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And in the NIV it stops there. In the New American Standard Bible, it stops there. In their body of text that they use for translation, it doesn't include this last phrase, but in the received text, it includes, and in a teacher of the Gentiles. And I don't know exactly why it was in one and not the other. That's a great manuscript debate issue. But we certainly have other references where it talks about Paul is that distinct apostle. And not only is he apostle to the Gentiles, but he's also our example, or we are to imitate Paul's way of life. Most people say, I follow Christ. Well, that's fine. We are to be followers of Christ. But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The authorized King James Version, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And then the actual meaning of the word is Everybody here know what a mime is? It's somebody that acts something out without speaking. And so Paul is saying, be a mime of me. And so the actual word means, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, the NIV says, therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus. It's Paul's way of life in Christ Jesus. And not only his way of life, but his way of life agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. And so if Paul was teaching these things everywhere in every church, it behooves us and it encourages me to teach what Paul teaches everywhere and in every church. And I can guarantee you, I've explained this. One time I was asked a candidate for a pastoral position in a church. And I said, well, I probably would have gotten the job. But I said, you probably should interview me first and find out what I believe. And when I started to explain to them what I believe, they said, well, don't apply. It was just that quick. And I only told them what Paul writes. And they didn't want me. And yet that's what Paul preached everywhere in every church. And I'm just repeating what Paul preached everywhere in every church. And people say, I don't want to hear that. Don't come here with that kind of teaching. I mean, they'll come around and tell you, you're not welcome here. I had one guy once, Melinda found it rather humorous. I explained to him this, and this was at a very strict type of fellowship. I won't mention any names or anything. But when I shared with him that I didn't quite see the Bible that way, and I started to share with him what the Apostle Paul taught, and this man said, oh, you're one of them Stamites, huh? And I said, well, I don't think it's appropriate to put labels on people if you mean them to be derogatory or something. I just believe the Bible and I'm sharing what the Apostle Paul writes. And he said, well, I don't think you're welcome here. And then he said, by the way, what's your name? And I said, Mark Dilley. And he said, oh, Mark! He didn't recognize me. I hadn't seen him for a long time. And he was a good basketball player and everything in college. And then I was probably 10 years later than he was. But when he found out who my name was, we had a great time of talking sports and everything. And then when he was done, he said, yeah, come and join us anytime. How much sense does that make? It just doesn't make sense. You're not welcome if you come preaching and teaching what Paul taught. But you're welcome if you're a basketball player. That's how foolish the church is today, really. It is amazing. If you're a celebrity and you come up with, oh, I saw Jesus and he told me to go do this, then you're embraced right away. But if you say, oh, I knew what a sinner I was and that the blood of Christ is my only hope, and say, well, we don't talk like that around here. It's just amazing. And so how thankful you should be that God has made manifest to you the mystery, the truth of the word for today given to Paul. And that's what we preach and teach here, and people won't come here because of that. They want to hear about all the great things, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love the Old Testament. I love to see the righteousness and the holiness of God. But that's not the gospel of the grace of God for today. And you will not be established, I can guarantee you, completely. You will not have the peace, the contentment, and the joy in your life if you don't fill yourself with Paul's gospel. I can guarantee that to everybody. And so, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning. We thank you for the riches of your grace. We thank you for the marvelous message of the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. And by that we are established. And so, Heavenly Father, we bow before you now. We praise you and thank you for making it manifest to us that we can walk in grace, and that your grace is sufficient, and that you have provided all the grace we have for every circumstance, that we not only can survive, but we can be victorious, filled with joy and peace and thanksgiving in every circumstance. Not that we necessarily enjoy the circumstance, but we can have peace and joy and thanksgiving through it. And we praise you for that. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that as we get into some of the things of the mystery in comparison and contrast to the things of the kingdom, that you will teach us more about you, your love for us, and your amazing grace. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.